We've always found Mary to be an important part, well, maybe more than important, an integral part of the Advent story. The angels appearing to her, even to Joseph, and telling her of the Son of God coming to earth. Important stuff. The Christmas story hinges on it. But the story of Elizabeth, is it as important to the Advent story? Maybe you've even wondered why we have the story of Elizabeth and why it's important for Mary to go to Elizabeth and spend time. Is it for comfort and time away? Well, the story of John the Baptist was the setting for Jesus coming, preparing the way. The Elizabeth story sets the stage for Mary. Here is Elizabeth, 6 months pregnant. She's previously been unable to have a child, and here she is at an advanced stage of age, and she's expecting a baby. What a shock that must have been. The angel appears to Elizabeth and her husband Zachariah and tells them that they'll have a baby, and they've probably just begun at 6 months to wrap their head around what is really happening. And the same angel appears to Mary to tell her that she will give birth to the Son of God. Again, a bit of news to try and wrap her mind around. Yes, two stories that themselves would make a great movie, wouldn't they? But between Elizabeth's story and Mary's story lies for me the impossible possibilities of God's abundance. I'll say that again. The possible, I can't even say it right, the impossible possibilities of God's love and abundance. On one hand, you have this woman who never believed she would have a child. And on the other, you have a teenager who's never been with a man and who can't imagine being with child. Between these two, you see this amazing breadth of how nothing is impossible and everything is possible with God. Can this story be for us the example of what is possible? Can it be that there is no despair too deep, no pain too unbearable, no situation too hopeless, no sin unforgivable? Can it be that oftentimes we decide that our faith has to be practical? Can it be that we need things to make sense and we want them to be provable? When we need to be certain and know things are true, are we suffocating the opportunity for God to surprise us? Could faith really be rooted in that space we create between the extremes of what we understand to be impossible, so that the Holy Spirit has room to move and breathe and expand? Fu Tran is an instructor of Latin, German, Greek, and Sanskrit. And he has a deep passion for grammar, particularly the use of the subjunctive and the indicative. Indicative case captures the factual statements made about what is actually happening or happened. The subjunctive holds all the nuances of possibilities and potentialities. Indicative says, I go there. Subjunctive says, I could go there. I would go there. Or I might go there. When Tran was growing up, the use of the subjunctive was incredibly helpful to him because his family barely escaped to the United States from Vietnam. His ability to ponder the what ifs gave him the strength to survive the harsh, indicative reality of leaving his homeland during a war-stricken time. The power of the indicative is that it roots us in reality and truth, but it may also prevent us from believing in possibilities. Part of what makes this time of year so important is the understanding of the impossible being possible. The understanding of what God can do for us and does do for us all the time, and it doesn't always make sense. Living in the subjunctive means we can imagine not only the possible, but also the impossible. May we live our lives as Marys and Elizabeths, connecting those dots between God, the God that we know and have always known, and the God who is guiding our future, and the God who is full of surprises and full of ideas and things that we can't even begin to think of. May we be open to listening to God as Elizabeth and as Mary and Zechariah and Joseph were willing to do, to live in the subjunctive case. Amen and amen.